Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Well, hasn't Matt and Kevin done a phenomenal job helping to reach you guys? Such a pleasure and a blessing to get to work with them. And so far, everything's gone really smoothly. Hasn't it, Matt? I mean, for the most part, things have gone well. We've worked so very well together, and we're so excited about this Advent season. And as we, as I came in today, and as I sat down and started looking at things, I went, oh no, there's been a mistake. There are lots of people that do the seasons of Advent. We talked about hope last week, and we talked about joy and peace and love over the next 4 weeks. And some people put joy as the second week, and some people put peace. Well, Matt and I are just on the other ends of that spectrum, I guess. And so today, we have done such a great job focusing on peace, and I'm 100% sure that this was my fault. But we are going to talk about joy, which is great. And then next week, Matt's going to get a chance to talk to you about peace, and that'll be good. Are you guys okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you make any mistakes this week?
Yeah.
Please say yes. That makes me feel better. I also love that I came in this morning. I was like, you know, it's going to be 35 degrees. Chad and I are going to be hanging out at the Steelers game tonight. I get to put Christmas presents to each other, and that's why our children aren't here, because they're not going. It's too expensive. It's our Christmas gift. So we're going to the Steelers game tonight, and we went last night, and he's like, so what are you wearing? I'm like, so I'm going to wear like my pantyhose, and then I'm going to wear my leggings, and then I'm going to wear fleece leggings that I bought, and then I'm going to wear another pair of leggings on top of that. And he's like, how is that? I'm like, I don't know. I don't think they're all going to fit in my boots, but I'm going to try really hard. So this morning, I was like, you know, it's a great day to wear a sweater dress. It's cold outside. But these things are not made for women in sweater dresses. So it's kind of like an alien, like I've got an antenna this morning, but that's okay. You know what? We are going to work through it with the joy of the Lord today. Is that right? Good. And I'm going to grab my water, too. I have had the opportunity to minister in lots of different places. Thank you. Lots of different places. My very first ministry experience was in a church in Harrisonville, Missouri. I was asked to come straight out of college and be the director of a brand new children's outreach program where they're ministering to kids all over the community. My undergraduate is in elementary education with a minor in religious studies, so it worked perfect. My heart has always been in ministry. And so I got to work with these amazing kids and families, had the beautiful privilege of watching this ministry that didn't exist bloom into ministering to over 100 families in this small community that we lived in. And during that time, I got to meet some really phenomenal people. One of them was Katie Nicholson. Katie had just graduated from high school. She was a phenomenal young lady and loved kids with all of her heart and really wanted to work for us. And it was a perfect setup. She had fallen in love with this boy. She attended the local Baptist church. She'd actually been a bus ministry kid. Her mom and dad didn't attend church anywhere, and she had gotten on a bus every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, and then been shuttled to this little Baptist church. And that's where she grew up, loved the Lord, and fell in love with Daryl. And the two of them married during our time when we were in Harrisonville, Missouri. Something very interesting about Katie, she has a disease that's very, very rare, and I'm going to read you some things that she sent me yesterday in just a minute. Katie's disease causes her white blood cells to not function properly. She can get sick at the drop of a hat, and something that can be very, very mild for us, a cold or a sinus infection or whatever, can put Katie in the hospital, and she can die from it. That's the way it's always been. And so whenever she wanted to work for me, I said, Katie, you're going to be around kids all the time. And they're snotty, and they're sick, and they're coughing, and they're junky, and they're snotty, and they're snotty. And she's like, I know this is what God wants me to do. And her and Daryl, in their marriage, had always, always, always wanted children. Her heart always was to have babies. And those 4 years I walked with Katie through three miscarriages. The third one, she was pregnant with twins and made it almost to 4 months before she miscarried them. And it was an absolutely heartbreaking situation. And I love telling stories, but what Katie wrote is so powerful to me, the things that she wrote to me yesterday in her text, and so I just want to read them to you, if that's okay. Is that all right? She said, "My disease is called chronic granulomatous disease. Basically, I have white blood cells, but the enzymes inside them don't work, causing them to not do their job and fight infection. So even just the simplest illness can cause me to be deathly ill." Actually, a fun fact, I'm not sure why she said it was fun, but it is. She said, after I had Chloe, her daughter, she said, a doctor informed me that there were only 436 cases of this disease. I always assumed that must be in the United States because the number was so low. I found out just a few months ago from my infectious disease doctor who was filling in a nurse on my disease that there are less than 150 cases in the United States. And being predominantly a male disease, less than 8% of the people are women. God definitely had a plan for my life. I've only met one person face to face with my disease, and he was about 5 years younger than I am. There was a little girl in Kentucky who was diagnosed with CGD, and she ended up passing away when she was seven, a little over a year after being diagnosed. But we're rare, to say the least. She just turned 31, and she said they recently did a small documentary on the disease and interviewed a man who they said defied all odds and has lived to 45. But I serve a God who is greater than a statistic on paper. I take great comfort in not needing to know what tomorrow holds, because no one is promised tomorrow, sick or well. She said, I don't know if I could even begin to use the word joy to describe how I felt when I first held Chloe in my arms. I was honestly overwhelmed that God had answered my prayer after so long. I guess I was overwhelmed with joy and then scared all at the same time. What if something happens to me? I don't ever want to leave her. And that's why now more than ever, being a mom, I'm focused on today. Because all any of us have is today. And I hope someday, when my days run out, then my kids will know how much I try to live each and every one of those days. Katie has two children, Chloe and Dyson, and they are beautiful, amazing, amazing family. And through everything she's been through, everything that she's walked through, I thought, how in the world does someone contain and exude such joy, literally not knowing if tomorrow holds life or death? It's amazing how God works, how His promise of love and joy for us is so extremely overwhelming. For God is a God of joy. There's something about the joy of having a child that is impossible to understand until you experience it for yourself. And I think that's exactly what Zachariah and Elizabeth would tell us if they could show up on this stage today. Zachariah and Elizabeth were righteous, God-fearing people. They loved the Lord with everything that was in them, and they desired to serve God unwaveringly. They knew there was a God, and their joy was rooted in Him. During that era, women's value was found in having children. It's the way that the world works. And providing an heir for your husband was so extremely vital to the entire social structure that existed. And Elizabeth, we're told in Scripture, was there. She was unable to have children. And Zachariah from a priestly order, and Elizabeth from the priestly order of Aaron, both of them, together, their love for the Lord and using His joy as their strength, were able to cope with years and years and years of disgrace and shame because of Elizabeth's inability to bear an heir for Zachariah. Whenever he served in the temple, it was a very rare thing. It's very likely that this was the only time that Zachariah ever got to serve in his entire life. There were 24 priestly orders at the time, and each order took a turn, and in that order, they would cast lots to find out which one of them got to go in and perform the priestly duties. And the lots were cast, and Zachariah was rolled, and he was chosen. It was his week. He had the privilege of serving. And as he walked in and was able to be inside that sanctuary, I can only imagine the things that he had gotten to see for the very first time. The overwhelming presence of God that existed in that place. And as he began to serve, as he began to perform his duties, Gabriel appeared to him. And the scripture said it scared him to death. Right? Like, if Gabriel showed up today, we'd be pretty scared. I'd be pretty scared. Yeah, it kind of freaked me out because an angel just appeared to me and started talking when I'm in a room that I'm only allowed to be in all by myself. And there Gabriel is, and he says, God has heard your prayers. I cannot imagine that Zachariah, in his very, very old age, had been praying for a son recently. Like, I don't think he and Elizabeth were like, okay, sweetheart, now it's dinner time. You want me to get your chair? There we go. Where's your walker? All right, fantastic. All right, let's sit down here. Let's pray. Lord, will you please give us a son? Like, I don't think that's what they were doing. I, at that point in their lives, my guess is that they were kind of beyond that, that they had found joy in other places. But Gabriel, because time is not linear to God, right? It's not beginning to end, for God is all-encompassing, all time. He said, God has heard your prayers, Zachariah, and you and Elizabeth are going to bear a son. He didn't laugh like Sarah did, but I can imagine he was laughing in his heart. I mean, he's like, how can I know this is going to be true? Like, really, how can I know? And Gabriel said, don't question me. That's not how I roll. But I did this with God. Do you get that? And now I'm here with you, telling you the things that God told me to tell you. And you want a sign or something? Is this not a sign enough? I showed up. But that should count for something, right? None of that is biblical, by the way. And so there they are in this conversation. And he goes, okay, because you don't believe, you will be silent until this baby is born. And the Greek word that is used there for silence, for a long time I just thought that it meant that because it said that he would be deaf, that he wouldn't be able to hear. But that silence meant he would also be mute. Zachariah could not speak, and he could not hear. His world went from hearing everything around him, being able to communicate everything in his heart, to a world of complete silence. And he walked out, and people were asking, and I can imagine all of these people, and they're talking, and he can feel lips moving, but he can't hear anything. And he wants to tell them what he saw, and so he's using his hands, and he's doing signs. Here he said, Rachel, this morning you could use that handheld. I'm like, oh, but Dad, you have a maraca. You know how to preach? Like, that's not going to work, right? And so he's using it in signs. That's what I was trying to share with them, and they finally get, okay, do you think he saw a sign? And he goes home. And very quickly, Elizabeth becomes pregnant. And not just pregnant with any baby, but a baby from the time he was conceived was filled with the Holy Spirit. What an amazing thought. God had planned and prepared for the perfect timing for John to be born. And as he is being formed in his mother's womb, the plan of God is unfolding for a promise of joy that would transform the world forever. John is born. And 8 days later, as is customary, the circumcision and the naming of John takes place. During that time, women were not, usually were not literate. They couldn't read or write. That wasn't something that was allowed for women to do. And so there are several places where I read that Elizabeth would have had no idea that he wanted to name the baby John, or that that's what was supposed to take place. How could she have known, right? other places say that he wrote it and she was able, they were able to communicate somehow in those 9 months, but that's what they wanted. But when the baby's born and the people ask, what is his name? Should we name him Zachariah or his father? I mean, look, this legacy that has been born to the family. And she said, his name is John. And they went, no, okay. All right, woman, have a seat. Zachariah. What are we going to name this baby? And he wrote down, his name is John. And all of a sudden, Zachariah's world came back to life. He was able to speak and he was able to hear, and here is John. Circumcised as an Israelite, a child of God, a prophet of the Most High. And in that joy and exuberance that Zachariah felt, the Holy Spirit filled him. And he prophesied to all of the friends and family that were there listening. And we're going to read the scripture together. It's up on the screen there. And this is the benediction, Zechariah's prophecy. Then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit. You know how weird that was before Jesus showed up? That Holy Spirit interaction takes place all through the Advent season, all through the scriptures, the Holy Spirit showing up on Mary, the Holy Spirit being John from time of conception, and the Holy Spirit now filling Zechariah. Oh, the Holy Spirit is laying the foundation for great joy to come. And he gave this prophecy, praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies so that we can serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness, for as long as we live. And you, my little son, can you imagine Zechariah holding John? And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare a way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, this is underlined a million times in my Bible. This is just one of my favorite passages. It's so powerful. Please listen. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path. Zechariah taught us a lot of things about joy. And he did a lot of that through his prophecy. First, joy is grounded in a God who fulfills his promises. Joy is grounded in a God who fulfills his promises. Abraham, a long, long time ago, didn't have a son. And when Isaac was born to him, it was the amazing beginning to a long covenant that God had promised Abraham. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to uproot your family. I want you to uproot your life. I want you to move everything that you know and love and go to a place that you don't know and don't love. And I'm going to show up there. And though you have no children, your descendants will be like the sands on the shore and the stars in the sky. This is my covenant to you, Abraham. This is my promise. And that same God who watched his people go through slavery in Egypt and freed them from that same God is the God who allowed Elizabeth to conceive the voice in the desert. Right? And so now we have this great joy. And it's not always easy. It's not always easy to be joyous, right? It doesn't happen easily. And whenever we look at the things that have happened in the past, even sometimes it's hard for us to find joy in those things. And that's why it's so vital for us to dig in to where joy originates. It originates from God Himself. It's a wellspring that comes up inside of us. It is a promise that is fulfilled by God Himself. And that's exactly what this joy was. That Zechariah was looking back over 1,000 years, the promise that was made to Abraham, and he was going, this is where our joy comes from, a God who fulfills His promises. This is what we see, this is what we know, this is how we know we have joy, is because the God of the promises from past is the God of fulfillment of promises today. God is the source of our joy. And we know this because of what He has done for us. The second one is joy is not based on our present circumstances. Zechariah, I like to talk. I know, like, for some of us to go, you know, I'd be okay in a quiet world where I couldn't hear anybody. I mean, there's some days I'd like to not hear my children, but, you know, like, we would like to not hear anything. But not speaking, that might be another thing. And here's Zechariah, and he's living his whole life, watching and loving his wife with all of his heart, and seeing her going through this disgrace, not being able to bear a child. And he comes out of the sanctuary, and for 9 months, he can't speak or hear. I wonder what it's like to find joy in the complete quiet of God. That will be still and know that I am God. Sometimes that happens because we choose it, and sometimes it happens because it's forced upon us. And in Zechariah's circumstance, it was forced upon him. He found joy in that quiet. In the midst of those quiet circumstances, not being able to hear or speak, the joy of the Lord began to fill him and overwhelm him. That time being able to be spent with just God. Just God, the rest of the world was closed out to him. He began to see clearly and understand perfectly what God's perfect plan was and the joy in which God had in store for him and the rest of us. Happiness, as a general rule, is situational. Like tonight, when the Steelers beat the Colts, I'm going to be really happy. Okay? And if you're looking on TV and trying to find us, we'll look on the 50-yard line. We're about 5 rows behind the Colts because really, Steeler Nation fills the whole thing anyway, so it doesn't matter where you sit. And so, we're going to be back there, but you will be able to find me because I am going to be in a blanket. The only thing that you're going to be able to see are my eyes. But whenever they win that game, the blanket's coming off, and I am going to be so extremely happy, jumping up and down, right? Happiness is situational sometimes. We are happy based upon our circumstances. I told Chad this morning, I said, I feel like I talk about that a lot. We talk about it all through Job, that our situation does not determine what's in our heart. But I think that's because we need that reminder every single day. That God's promise for us, that the joy that we experience because we love the Lord is not situational. It is not based upon our circumstances. And just like Zechariah, it was not based upon his circumstances. It wasn't based upon the fact that he couldn't hear, he couldn't speak, the fact that his wife had been barren for years. His joy was not circumstantial. His joy was based upon the Lord. It was founded in God Himself. The American Heritage Dictionary says that joy is an intense and especially ecstatic or exultant happiness. It comes from within us. It's a well that springs out. Whenever Peter was in prison, he was writing to the Corinthians, and he told them, he said, I see what you're doing. I know what God is doing in and through you. And though I sit in this prison, I am overflowing with joy in my affliction. Overflowing with joy. It wasn't situation-based for Paul. It was God-based. His joy wasn't based on where he was at, but it was based upon the God who has created all things. Nehemiah was living in Persia during the time of Queen Esther, when things were good for Jews. And he was called out of that to go back to Jerusalem where things were not good. It was a mess. They're trying to rebuild this wall, and there's all kinds of junk going on, and they're disgruntled, and they're grouchy, because that's what all the people of God act sometimes. And that's how the Israelites were, and that's what they were facing. And he says, listen, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It doesn't come from your situation. It doesn't come from what you're living out today. And it doesn't come from what you're experiencing. Your joy has to come from a deeper well. And this spring bubbles up. And it doesn't matter how you necessarily feel. It matters who we have experienced and has infused us with that joy. And sometimes our cups are overflowing with it. Sometimes that joy just wells up in us so much that we can't even begin to express that overflow of joy when Katie held baby Chloe in her hand. And sometimes our joy is kind of a little bubbling fountain. Not like the water fountain back there that shoots out on the floor every time I have you know, it's like this little trickle, the fountains where you're afraid your mouth is going to touch when you're trying to get it. You know, like that, and sometimes our joy is like that, and that's okay. It's not so much how great it is, it's the source from which it comes. Our joy comes from the Lord. And last but not least, joy is found in a promise fulfilled. Whenever John was circumcised, it wasn't just because it was a medical procedure that needed to be done. As a matter of fact, at that time, Jews were cast out of gymnasium. They were made fun of by the Roman government because of what they had done to their bodies. And God said, no, this is a sign. This is a sign that you are a people of me. And when people joined the Israelite nation, grown men would be circumcised to show that they were going to follow after the one true God. Now when Jesus came, those rites and rituals changed. And we won't get into all of that. But at that moment, when John was circumcised, it was a sign that he was a child of God, of the Most High. It was a promise. It was part of a covenant that was being fulfilled. John, centuries later, was a child of Abraham. He was a sand on the seashore, and he was a star in the sky. And Zechariah's joy was overflowing. And God, in us today, he has made promises in his word that are being fulfilled in our lives. If we can see past where we're at and past our present circumstances and past our frustration, and we can get down to the root of where joy really lies in Jesus Christ, when we really can find that and seek it out, we begin to see that Christ had made promises for us. I read this great article this week that talked about some of the promises that God has made it to us as a people of God, and what it means for us to be able to fulfill and be a part of those promises. And I want to read you just a couple of them. The first one is from 2 Peter. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. This is God himself, Jesus Christ. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. We have that promise. When we accept Christ, and even though we live in a world that is full of corruption and human desires, we have a promise that we can escape that. We don't have to live or be a part of that. God promises us something better. Matthew 11:28-29 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am a gentle and humble God, and you will find rest for your souls. Isaiah 40, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. And the same God from Philippians 4:19, and the same God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given in Christ Jesus. This is one of my favorites. Romans 8:37. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us. Are you ready for joy? Here it is. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries for tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Joy is in the promises of God that are being fulfilled today. And we can experience this joy because of a Christ who came. John cried out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way for the Lord. And guess what? He showed up. And he's still showing up today in us and desiring to give us the joy of our salvation. And he sat at his table. And he looked at his disciples. And he said, you know the old covenant that I did with Abraham? You know that one? This is the cup of the new covenant. It's my blood, which is shed for you. This is my body, which is broken for you. There's something about the joy of having a Savior. It's impossible to understand until you experience it for yourself. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much today for your joy. A joy that speaks in us, that wells up inside of us, that lives in us. Heavenly Father, I pray today that in spite of our circumstances, that your joy will be at the root and at the core. It will be our strength. It will be our power. It will be in spite of our circumstances. And may this joy that we have experienced because of your great sacrifice be on our tongue and our lips as we go out and live our lives. May others see your joy in us so that they might come to know you as their Savior. Because everything changes when Jesus shows up. And as we prepare to take the elements this morning, God, will you work in our hearts? Will you remind us the joy of our salvation? And will you be our joy today? We love you so much. We pray these things in your name. Amen.